Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hi, Cindy So, how are you doing? Hello, Cindy So? Oh, but we had Cindy So now. Hello, Cindy So? I can hear you, Cindy So. Can you hear me?
Yes, Zama, you have me on the line. Can you hear me?
Great stuff. I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much, Zama.
Fantastic. Are you good, though?
I'm very well. I'm very well. And yourself? It looks like technology is letting us down lately.
Yeah, lately. But hey, we are winning. We are winning. Humans are winning. Now
we have to stay winning.
Yeah, we gotta stay winning.
We
gotta stay winning. Definitely. Now, Schedule 8 of the Labor Relations Act provides guidelines, of the factors which the CCMA and the Bargaining Council commissioners must consider when making decisions on the fairness of dismissals for misconduct. Now, today, we want to be discussing those guidelines as well as what actions can be taken in the case of unfair dismissal. Now, Cindy So, is there a difference, first off, between unfair dismissal and unlawful termination? If you could please define the terms for us.
Okay. Quite interesting, Zama. I wouldn't define what you call unlawful termination. Unfair dismissal we can define.
Okay.
And then the issue of unlawful termination. Look, ultimately what it boils down to is that there is a termination of an employer-employee relationship.
Mm.
Now, unlawful or termination would amount to what is called wrongful termination. Wrongful termination would be what is deemed to be automatically unfair dismissal. Now, in this case, there are 8 grounds of automatically unfair dismissal. And they would range from where an employee is dismissed for participating in a protected strike,
mm-hmm.
or refusing to work while on strike, or when an employee is forced to accept certain demands by an employer, or when an employee is pregnant for discrimination, or any those grounds actually amount to what is called automatic grounds of unfair dismissal.
Mm.
So that is what people would colloquially term unlawful termination of employment. That is what people would definitely do. But in legalese, we would call that wrongful termination of employment, mm-hmm. or automatically unfair dismissal.
Oh, okay. That's lovely, actually. That's good to know. Quite enlightening. Now, Cindy So, if you could just please explain then what would substantive fairness and procedural fairness entail?
Right. Now, in order for us to even get to the issue of unfair or fair dismissal, mm-hmm. we have to understand what is a dismissal. All right. Dismissal simply means that it is the conduct of an employer that would bring the employment relationship to an end.
Mm-hmm.
The Section 186 of the Labor Relations Act provides that there can be three ways in which this employment relationship is terminated. One, it can be fair, it can be unfair, or it can be automatically unfair. Now, we know that all employees have a right in terms of Section 185A not to be unfairly dismissed. Then the second issue that we need to determine is, in order for there to be a termination of employment or dismissal, there has to be an employer-employee relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
That person who is dismissed needs to have been an employee of the employer. So this is the first hurdle that the employee must prove when they are proving dismissal. An employee must prove that there is a relationship and that they are covered in terms of Section 213 of the Labor Relations Act, and that they are an employee of the employer, that they are purported to be an employee, right? I'll give you an example of a case. This is the case of Whitehead versus Woolworths. It's a very famous case. It's a landmark case, actually. In this particular case, Mrs. Whitehead was very heavily pregnant at the time when she went for an interview with Woolworths. And she did very well in the interview, and the employer was impressed with Mrs. White. But because of her pregnancy, the employer was no longer willing to give her the permanent employment that she had interviewed for, and was only willing to give her a fixed-term contract. Mrs. White had lodged a complaint with the CCMA, which subsequently went to the labor court, and it was decided that there was a dismissal in this case in terms of Section 180C of Mrs. Whitehead. So even an employee who is interviewing for a job is protected by the Labor Relations Act. Now, we move on to the burden of the employer, because now the burden, once the employee has proved that they are an employee of that employer, the employer then has to prove that the dismissal was fair, right? In proving that the dismissal was fair, the employer must prove that the dismissal was substantively fair and procedurally fair. What does substantive fairness mean? Substantive fairness simply means that there was a fair reason for the dismissal. And procedural fairness simply means that a fair procedure was followed in terms of Section 186 to dismiss this particular employee. Right. Let's look at the requirements of substantive fairness.
Okay.
In this case, when we're talking about substantive fairness, we're talking about reasons for the dismissal. In this case, there are certain questions that the employer must ask themselves. Firstly, did the employee contravene a rule or standard regulating the conduct in the workplace? That is question number one. And then the second question is, was the rule valid and reasonable? And then the third question that one needs to ask is that, was the employee aware of this particular rule or standard? Or was that employee reasonably expected to have been aware of this rule or standard that they are said to have contravened? The fourth question that the employer must ask themselves is, was this rule consistently applied? Has this rule been consistently applied with other employees, right? And then there's the fifth question that the employer must ask themselves is that, is dismissal an appropriate action?
I see.
Right? In determining that, one would look at previous disciplinary record of the employee, personal circumstances, the length of service, nature of the job, as well as the circumstances of the infringement themselves. Then we move to the procedural aspect of it. There is also a checklist that the employer must go through in order for them to determine that the dismissal is also procedurally fair. Remember, these two hurdles are essential for the employer to make a decision on whether to terminate an employer-employee relationship or not.
Yeah.
So you have to skip both hurdles in order to prove that the dismissal was fair. So if you can skip the one and you fail to skip the other, then there is unfairness. So for instance, if you can skip the substantive fairness aspect and fail to skip the procedural fairness aspect of it, which means that the dismissal is procedurally unfair and therefore it is not valid. If you fail to skip the substantive part of it, it means that, I mean, once there's no reason, once there's no substantive part, there is no need for you to even inquire as to the procedural aspect, because there's no reason for the dismissal. Right. Now, when we look at the procedural aspect, there are also a number of questions that the employer must ask themselves in determining whether the dismissal is procedurally fair. The first question is, did the employer conduct an investigation to determine whether there are grounds for the dismissal? That is the first question.
Okay.
Second question is, did the employer notify the employee of the allegations in a form or language that the employee can reasonably understand?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the third question would be, did the employee get reasonable time to prepare? And then was the employee allowed to state a case in response to the allegations that are proffered against the employee by the employer?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next question would be, was the employee allowed assistance, for instance, by a union, by a co-employee, or anybody that could assist the employee? The next question is, did the employer, after the inquiry, communicate the decision that they've taken? And did they furnish the employee with written reasons as to why they have taken the decision to dismiss that particular employee? And finally, the employer must notify the employee of their rights to take this matter to the CCMA in the event that the employee feels aggrieved in relation to the dismissal. Right. So that is what we talk about when we talk about procedural fairness and substantive fairness.
Mm-hmm. Now, if these conditions that you just listed now are not met, at least one of them, it would mean that it fails that test of procedural fairness.
It fails the test, definitely fails the test, though.
Oh, okay. Even if it's just one?
Even if it's one. Remember, it says that the employer must prove that the dismissal is both procedurally and substantively fair. It's not one or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them have to be proved. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So there are certain reasons. There are certain reasons why the employer may decide to terminate an employer-employee relationship. There are reasons. Let's say, for instance, where an employee is engaged in some form of misconduct, or an employee is incapacitated, or for operational requirements. So Section 188 of the Labor Relations Act establishes three grounds for fair dismissal.
Okay.
And these are the grounds that one can be fairly dismissed if it is found that they've been involved in some form of misconduct, or they are incapacitated, they are ill, they fail to perform and all that stuff. And then there is operational requirements. And I'll go through them. They also require their own procedural requirements. So misconduct could be a myriad of issues. For instance, one can go AWOL, they desert work, they abscond, they don't come to work on time, they take unauthorized leave, some may be involved in some form of dishonesty or theft, where there's a breach of trust between the employer and the employee. Those are forms of misconduct. There are some that would include assault, damage to property, or intimidation, and all that stuff. So those would form part of what we call misconduct, right? And in determining whether to dismiss an employee for all these forms of misconduct, we said the test is always, you go back, is the dismissal substantively
right
and procedurally fair? So we always go back to that test. Now, I'll give you examples, for instance, of case law, because I know Zama, you like case law. So I'll give you the example of Lithotech Manufacturing case. In this case, the employee used profanities and he used to swear. And you know, we know that abusive language creates disharmony in the in the employer and employee relationship if it's abusive and all that stuff. But in this case, this employee was dismissed for using profanities. The environment in itself is that in the shop, they used to liberally swear. And even the supervisor himself admitted that, you know what, at times I do swear and all that stuff. And in this case, the labor court found that the dismissal was not an appropriate sanction. The mere fact that abusive language is used by an employee does not necessarily justify the employee's dismissal. So each case is determined on its own merits. Right. So that is what we that is basically how they conduct these inquiries, the, you know, just to make sure that these instances are either but they're both procedurally and substantively fair. Theft is another example. And the courts have found quite differently. You know, when it comes to issues of theft, I'll take you to the case of Miyambo versus CCMA. Here, an employee who stole a piece of scrap metal was dismissed, and the court held that even though the value of the property was minimal, the act of stealing impacted on the trust relationship and had a significant economic repercussion on the relationship with the employer. So we see that in the case of Miyambo, the labor court upheld the dismissal. However, in the case of SA Commercial Catering and Allied Workers Union, on behalf of Bolashe and Pins on Traders, the employee here worked for a confectionery company, and the employee ate bread, which was returned by a customer. The company policy specifically stated that any returns by customers must be fed to the pigs. And the employee was dismissed because there was a policy specifically, you know, dealing with this, with this issue of returns. The court reinstated the employee in this case and held that the dismissal as a sanction was too harsh. And basically what they said is that petty theft cases must be judged also on their own merits. So it does not go without saying that because the employee stole, therefore they must be dismissed. So each case is dealt with on its own merits, regardless of the fact that there are policies that are in place, but the employer must be fair in sanctioning the dismissal. It must always be remembered that a dismissal must be a last resort.
Now, lastly, completely out of time, Cindy, so, but I need to, because this is coming from a listener. He says, I got disconnected there for a moment, but I might be asking an already answered question. And the question is it lawful to be retrenched without prior knowledge of retrenchments happening and be the only person to be retrenched?
Right. A retrenchment falls into what we call operational requirements of dismissals, right? That is the third category of dismissals. Now, remember, we go back to the test. We always go back to the test. What is the test? It must be substantively and procedurally fair, right? Substantive fairness, there must be reasons for the dismissal. There's a Section 189 process that needs to go through. The unions are informed, if there's a union, the unions are informed that a you know, the employer is going to be dismissing people or retrenching people for operational reasons, because the employer, I mean, an employer is allowed to dismiss employees for operational reasons, because you cannot expect an employer who is not making any profit, who is operating on the back foot, to continue to employ the same number of employees that they had when they were making money.
Yep.
So there are certain procedures also that have to be followed. Section 189 process must be conducted to inform the unions, if they're the unions are there, you know, they give their own representations. They decide, okay, maybe the unions may decide that, okay, look, we are willing to continue working, even though we can see that you're working at a loss. We are willing to take pay cuts. There's discussions that go back and forth between the employer and the employee until it is determined that retrenchments are the only way to go, and the employer may then make a decision to retrench employees. But basically, we go back to the very same test, whether it is substantively and procedurally fair. It is also very difficult to comment on the caller's circumstances, because one needs to understand what the circumstances of the retrenchment, what criteria the employer may have used to determine that the retrenchments were the way to go. But if these tests are not met, then even the retrenchment in itself is not a valid process.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sindiswa, I must say thank you. I think there's a lot that we could still go to and discuss. I mean, for instance, we needed to also talk about the steps that one can take if there's an unfair dismissal and all those procedures. But our time is completely, far spent. I'm going to speak to the producers to see if we can have a follow-up session on this one. But for today, I do want to say thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sama. Thank you so much.
Blessings. Thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.